And we're back. We appreciate you joining us. You can still call us 404-880-9255 on WCLK. We are talking about the role of genetics in cancer as it relates to diagnosis, treatment, and prediction. Katie, I think we were chatting a little bit earlier. I wanted to go back to that in terms of testing. I think you had mentioned about the potential of someone who gets tested and who receives good news, right? That they're negative and the potential is, you know, everything's good. But you don't necessarily want them to walk away and never come back or never reach back to other family members. Talk a little bit about that and what follow-up is like. Is it with you? Is it with their primary?
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to what I had said earlier, that since most cancers are not hereditary and even most prostate cancers are not hereditary, most of the people we see get a negative test result. And in our world, negative is quote unquote good, meaning we did not find a genetic mutation that explains their cancer. So on one hand, there's certainly good news there, right? That means that they couldn't have passed something on to their children, that their family members might probably don't need testing, but that does not mean that there is a normal risk. You know, the way I think about it is we tested that person for a reason. There's early onset cancer. There's cancer in multiple generations. There's just lots of prostate cancer or other types of cancer. So we still want themselves and their children, especially, to kind of be on alert. So like Mr. Kroom was saying, he was on alert because his father had passed and he had other relatives who had prostate. So he was using his family history as sort of a tool to guide his screening. So we want to make sure our negative patients, while they're negative, know that, you know, they likely still are going to need maybe more screening than a person who doesn't have their family history. And also that maybe they were going to want to come back because maybe we're going to discover more genes that could be the cause of the cancer in their family in a few years.
Right.
For a long time, we basically tested for a handful of genes, and now we can test for 90. Right. It's increasing all the time, comes with good and bad sides. You know, some of those genes we don't know quite as much about, but the testing still exists. So that's a big part of what we talk about with people. But we just want people to know that kind of once you've come to genetics, it should always sort of be in the back of your mind as maybe I'll go back in a few years. Or another reason is if something changes in their family history and we get more information, maybe there's something we would test for that we wouldn't have tested for with the information we had initially.
Right. Dr. LaChance, have you ever seen where this disease has potentially skipped a generation?
Yeah, I think that's one thing to keep in mind. And there's technical terms for that, but I mean, that's the idea. We call it penetrance, which is a fancy word. But it's the idea of not all the times do you get the disease if you've got this risk factor, this genetic risk factor. And so a lot of times you'll see it run in families and it can go grandfather, grandson, but then you might see it in, you know, some cousins, you know. And I think that's why when you deal about family histories, I mean, what Katie was mentioning, you want to look at both sides of the family. You want to get as much information as possible. And, you know, you want to know, does somebody have a big family? Because you got a big family, you have more chances. You know? And so it definitely can. And I think that's something that you have to keep in mind. And it is tough because, I mean, you think about, I don't know what the health of my great-grandfather was like.
Right.
You know? And so it's like often you can only go back one, two generations.
Right.
And I think it's like, but if you can you at least use that information, it at least can give you, you know, at least a little bit of idea of what you can do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Joe's exactly right that the penetrance is a big deal, meaning what was that risk? Not everybody who has that risk is going to develop it. But as far as the mutations that we test for, the mutation can't skip a generation.
Okay.
So it might appear that the cancer, you know, isn't affecting everybody. But if both parents are negative for, I'll use the BRCA gene, because that's a gene a lot of people have heard of. If both parents are negative for a BRCA mutation, their child is negative too because they don't have a mutation to pass on to them.
Okay.
Which is different than saying you can't get cancer, right? Unfortunately, all of us have some risk to develop cancer.
Right. Dr. LaChance?
Yeah, so there's some interesting points related to that. So about a month ago, I heard a talk by Mary Claire King, and she's one of the people who's originally found the mutations in the BRCA1 gene that are associated with breast cancer risk. And a lot of these tests look at what are known as variants of uncertain significance, or like, we don't know what we do, what they do. We think they're bad. And I have a little bit different opinion with her, but she actually at this point where, do we trust these at all? And how much do we like inform a patient?
Right.
But she was actually advocating that every woman at age 30 should get tested for BRCA1, BRCA2 mutations for breast cancer. And she's like, we could treat this, you know, but there's lots of forms of genes that can affect breast cancer. But for these two genes, we have an idea.
Right.
And then somebody asked her a question, and I think it was related to like, you know, what would you do if somebody was, you know, 12 years old and they got tested and they knew, and what advice would you give them? And she's like, don't text and drive. But it's a point where like the idea is, at least for some genes, they're not of uncertain significance. You know that these are mutations that can cause problems.
Right.
But for other ones, we really don't know what effect they have. And we just know that on average, they might increase or decrease your risk. I think there's another point that's worth mentioning is that you might have things that run in a family. There might be mutations. It's nobody's fault. It's not necessarily a fault of your lifestyle. And I think the one thing to keep in mind is that in our body, we're made up of all these cells, and these cells are dividing. And a lot of these mutations, they're just copying errors.
Right.
And you try to write something down, you'll make little mistakes. Your DNA does the exact same thing every second.
Right.
And those can just pile up over a lifetime. And eventually you might have some that do something that's functional. And then those are the ones you got to watch out for. But it's something that it's not necessarily any fault of yours at all.
Right.
Yeah. And to piggyback on that, I think we're talking a lot about genes and genetics, which is my favorite topic, but it's really important to remember that most people who develop prostate or any cancer probably don't have a family history, probably don't have relatives who've had that type of cancer, because just exactly like Joe was saying, these, you know, we use the term sporadic.
Right.
You know, most cancers can happen. Now, there might be genetic effects that we'll learn about over time, but people shouldn't be kind of falsely reassured by the lack of a cancer in their family and think they can skip out on mammograms or prostate screenings or things like that because it's not in their family.
Right.
Because unfortunately, you know, all of us have some risk.
And for as much as we know, there's so much that we still don't know. We've got a caller on the line. We've got Leonard in Atlanta. Leonard, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling. What's your question?
Well, I think my question is for Dr. Rashawn. I am a prostate cancer survivor. I was diagnosed 8 years ago and have gone through treatment. And I was just interested in some of the research that Dr. Lashawn was talking about and whether he needed any participants for his ongoing research.
Yeah, so with what we're doing right now, we're actually focused more on Africa itself. But I think it's worth worth contacting your physician or urologist and talking to him or her and trying to see, do they know of any studies? I mean, the conference I came from last week, there were a lot of people at University of Florida and lots of other places, people at Clark Atlanta, people at Morehouse. I mean, lots of people are doing these studies. So what we're doing, we're focusing on different populations, but definitely talk to your physician and say, look, you'd love to contribute. Yeah, I mean, it's the idea, too, where, you know, just being able to see, you know, how you're able to be healthy now and try to figure out, you know, are there things about you that, you know, that can give some information for other people.
I'd like to help if I can.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And so glad to hear that you are a survivor. Mr. Krim, if we can go back to you, I really appreciate that that you're an advocate. And I think that also helps with coping, but it sounds like you've gone even beyond that and that you just randomly, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you just kind of ask your buddies, hey, have you been tested? Hey, have you been tested? And you were able to find out that there were some friends of yours and some family members, some cousins down the line who did go and get tested and found out that they were positive so that they could get treatment. Even though you've beat cancer, how does talking about it and being an advocate still help you, not just others?
Well, I guess it's one of these things, if you have to experience what the person go through, the stages that the disease could put you through before you reach death, it's very ugly. And you would want to fight for anyone's life.
Sure.
Because once it get to your bone, you can't touch the person. I mean, you can't even touch the hand. And I experienced that.
Right.
with my father and my uncle. And I wouldn't want to see anyone go through that kind of situation in life unnecessarily. And it's one of these things, the prostate cancer, even with myself, I didn't feel anything. I didn't know I had it. I mean, I'm an athlete, and I played ball, and I had there's no side effect. There's no nothing other than a PSA. And someone telling right. you that your PSA jumped from this percentage to that percentage, at that point, you know, you need to be proactive with it to check yourself out based on age and other factors that you think may affect you. It's not a symptom that could pop up.
Right.
But you need to do something about it. But like you mentioned, I did have some friends, close friends, that I asked to get checked, and they got checked. I was glad they got checked.
Right.
And they found out they had it. Two guys in particular, close friends of mine, had it, and it got outside their prostate. And they're alive now, but they thanked me to say, well, you know, if you hadn't told me, it could have been worse. They got radiation treatment, and they're alive today and doing well. But just the fact that it got outside the prostate.
Is that what they call metastasize?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they are fine today. But just the fact that they had it, and they were my age at the time. I guess they were around 52, 53 at that time. Around 51, 52, 53.
Right. Well, we appreciate your voice on that. And like I said, still being an advocate, even beyond your own. We are nearing the end of our program. I just want to find out, Dr. LaChance, if you have anything additional that you wanted to say.
When you got the news, did you have a spouse or advocate with you? Because I think that's one thing,
no.
too. But it's one of those things
that's
where—
That's what knocked me down.
Yeah. And, but this is one thing, too, where it's heavy news, and it's like if you have somebody to take a little bit of that burden, at least when it hits
support
you.
Support system.
Especially somebody that's been through this, that's been in the trenches.
Oh, my wife was there.
She was
there. I mean, she supported me 100%. But my mistake, I believe, was I wouldn't expect the diagnosis to come back to say positive.
Right.
So I went to the doctor myself. Yeah. Okay? After the biopsy, I go to the doctor to find out the results from it. I told my buddy, I said, well, yeah, I was in Orlando at a conference. I told my best friend, I said, look, I'm going to go back to Atlanta. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I'm sure it's just something to do with my age, my PSA jump. Did a biopsy, I'm sure it's nothing. But I walked in there, and he walked out and told me that I almost fell out. Wow.
Dr. LaChance, Katie, Mr. Kroom, we have run out of time. We thank you so very much for being here. Appreciate the conversation. Appreciate even more so the information. And thank you all out there who are listening to WCLK 91.9 FM. We'll be back next month to do this again. If you just say goodbye to all of the folks out there, appreciate it. Mr. Kroom?
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you. And I'm going to put in a plug for National Family History Day, which is Thanksgiving.
Awesome. There you have it, folks. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Patty Walden, and we'll talk with you again next month.
Hello. I am Dr. Shafiq Khan, Director of the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. The Cancer Center is committed to reducing the burden of prostate cancer health disparities in the African American community through research, outreach, and education. On behalf of the Cancer Center, I would like to thank you for joining us today on Your Health Connection.
Your Health Connection is made possible by funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information, please call 404-880-6878 or go to ccrtd.cau.edu. If you would like to listen to this show on demand, just go to wclk.com and click on the Your Health Connection page. For Patty Walden and producers Dr. Kimberly Davis and Rob Maynard, this is Jamal Ahmed. Thanks for listening to Your Health Connection.